Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. When he retired in 2010, after 30 years as a referee for the National Hockey League, Kerry Fraser looked forward to hanging up his skates and spending some well-earned time with his family. But 7 years later, he was body-checked by something he didn't expect, a diagnosis of essential thrombocythemia, a rare blood cancer. In this episode of Cure Talks Cancer, we talk with Kerry about his diagnosis, his advocacy work, and how he uses the lessons he learned on the ice and works with his winning team to conquer each day. Kerry, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. So what led to your diagnosis?
Well, Jessica, I have to tell you, it was an accident that I was able to even be diagnosed. I had a fatty cell in my bicep that, you know, during the course of my NHL career, and I would see various doctors. I saw the New Jersey Devils doctor when it first started to, you know, get large. I looked like Popeye. And he said, no, it's just a fatty cell. He said, get your cholesterol checked. And I have a hereditary high cholesterol level, so we use some medication. But after I retired, this thing started to get bigger, and it felt like it was impinging upon my bicep. And so I wanted to get it out. Pre-op blood work. My GP called me, and he said, we got a problem here. He said, I got to get you to a hematologist. My platelet count was over the top. Could have resulted in a heart attack or a stroke through a blood clot. My wife booked me into a cancer clinic, Fox Chase, saw a hematologist there, Dr. Stefan Barta, wonderful gentleman. He subsequently has moved, and I have moved over to the University of Pennsylvania. And after blood tests and other things, he brought my wife in for the next consultation and said, well, we know what you have. It's a cancer, and it's in the leukemia family. My wife fell apart. She started crying. Now, the husband, the protector, the jock, you know, the hockey guy, the tough guy, I wanted to manage my wife's pain level in this. So I took a breath, and I said, okay, doctor, how do we manage this? What do we do? So he gave me some insight as to length of lifespan that they've known with this. He said, you have the JAK2 gene, mutant gene developed in your bone marrow, and it's causing your platelet count to flood. But he said, there are ways that we can control it. I said, okay, I want you, Dr. Barta, to be the captain of my team, and I want to put a team in place that is going to win. I want a winning team, just like the cup. So from that point, we had to go tell family. I wanted them to know that Dad and Papa is going to be okay. Mm. This is just a little thing we have to work through. Then Kathy and I went away, just to kind of get away. We went to Aruba, our favorite little island. The first day in Aruba, it finally hit me, and I had a down day, and I started to feel depressed. And again, the hockey mentality kicked in, and I said to myself, wake up. Let's get this under control. Let's do some work. I went down to the health club. I rode the bike for 12 to 15 miles. I felt like $1 million, whole different attitude. And there's ups and downs, but I tell you, you can manage this, and you have to manage your emotions, which I learned on the ice. Mm-hmm. I needed to manage my negative emotions and utilize the positive emotions. And it's so very true that I found in dealing with this sort of illness that we haven't got a cure for yet.
Yeah. So often you hear that the outlook is such a huge part of treatment.
And big time. Yeah. And you know, the community, also the support you get, crucial. I got a call from Bobby Orr, number four, Boston Bruin, Hall of Fame, legend. Yeah. I mean, arguably one of the best ever play of the game, certainly at the defense position, without question. And I got calls from all other, Mark Messier phoned me, and, you know, the captain of the New York Rangers that won the cup. Mm-hmm. And the Moose said to me, hey, listen, Fraze, keep fighting. Mark Messier was a fighter, and he gave me that sort of advice. So when you have a support system and a network, family, I look at my grandchildren and my kids, it spurs me on every day. I want to be here as long as I can. And so far, we're doing great.
Right. That's fantastic. So now, MPN treatment can be very taxing. What were you treated with, and what was it like going through that treatment?
Well, I have essential thrombocythemia. Mm-hmm. They did the bone marrow biopsy, which I'd heard from people that said, oh, it's difficult, it's painful, it's whatever. You know, the doctor that was performing the procedure was being very delicate. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, this silly jock mentality. I said, listen, doc, I said, go deep or go home. Like, let's get this sample and let's get out of here. Mm-hmm. He laughed and he gave a little pop, and boy, they got what they needed. And, you know, from then on, it was clear sailing. Things are in a good position for me. Mm-hmm. Through the chemo pill that I take. I take 9 of them a week, 1 every day, 2 on Friday, 2 on Monday. And it's reduced my platelet count. At last blood test a week or so ago, I'm at 385, which is below the high range of it's in the normal range. So we're managing this. My objective, and that of my doctor, is to die with this and not because of it.
Yeah. So now, how did you get used to your new normal? A lot of people talk about that new normal. Yeah. After a diagnosis and living with this disease. How did you get used to that during treatment and then beyond?
Jessica, that's a great question, because there's times when, you know, we go along. It's been 2 years pretty much since I was diagnosed. And you work at it and you work at it. And for me, one of the side effects was fatigue. And I'm a go, go, go. I'm an Energizer Bunny kind of guy. But I found with this, at some point in a month or in a week, I'd hit the wall and I would have to go down. I just couldn't fight it off. And, you know, when I needed to rest, I rested. And it could be 12 to 14 hours. But it recharged the batteries and away I go again. The one thing that I found is exercise really helps. It helps me mentally and physically. It recharges the batteries, and no differently than when I refereed. If I flew out to Los Angeles and I was going to be on a 10-day trip out there and I was tired from being at home, and my wife and I have 7 children, so consequently I was usually tired when I left home. But rather than go to bed out there, the first thing I did was put on my gym gear and I'd go down and ride the bike. And that's kind of the mindset that I have now. I know that I typically do a 10 to 12 mile ride at a good clip. I monitor my heart rate so that my training zone as a referee was 165 to 168 beats a minute. I'm now 67 years old. I still train in the 155 to 158 beats per minute range, which kind of scared my hematologist. But he said, hey, if you're doing it and you're used to doing it, keep doing it.
Yeah, you're conditioned for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Now, you touched a little bit on this earlier about your support system, but I want to get a little bit more in depth about that. In previous interviews in particular, you mentioned that your wife, Kathy, she is the ultimate caregiver. So how did she cope after your diagnosis?
Not very well. She's my best friend. She is the most loyal, devoted fan that the referee could ever have. Even when they chanted "Fraser sucks," she was in the building trying to calm them down. So this was very difficult for Kathy, because there was that uncertainty at first. We were told that, you know, it could maybe at the outside, what they know at that point was a 20-year lifespan. Gosh, that would be great. Give me 20 and I'm happy. But there was also the potential for something that could spin off from this that would be pretty tough to deal with, or more difficult. So there's always that fear in Kathy's mind, and she's the website, you know, surfer, which in some sense is not that good, because all the symptoms that she found, and there were signs that I had an issue, but we just didn't. I didn't pay attention to it. So now Kath is, she's the assistant captain on our team with Dr. Barta. She makes sure that I eat right. She's the voice of reason in the back of my head. Slow down a little bit, Carrie. You're doing too much. I coach kids hockey, my granddaughter. And there were nights last year when I just didn't feel strong enough to go out onto the ice. But I knew the kids needed me to go on the ice, and I did, and I came home feeling better than when I left. So those are the kinds of things you can't give in. And just like Mark Messier said, and I say this to Kathy, we're never giving up. Giving up is not an option. You know, we're going to win. We're going to win. Every day, new day, be happy, enjoy, you know, smell the roses. And for me, I was given a light pail to carry, honestly. Sometimes I feel that why did I get such a light pail? And my brother, who was is up in Canada, he's battling stage 4 abdominal cancer. Mm. So you take what you get, and you work hard to try and beat it. Yeah. And that's the message I'm given. First of all, diagnosis. You got to get checked. Mm. If I didn't have that fatty cell, I might not be sitting here, Jess.
Yeah.
So it's really important that people at least get an annual blood test. Mm-hmm. And as we went back through my NHL records and my training camp blood tests, there was a sign. It was starting to elevate back then in 2003. So here we are, you know, at 2018, and I'm diagnosed. But there was a pattern that was developing, and I just wasn't listening.
Yeah, it's so true. You have to pay attention, be your own advocate as well.
Big time.
Yeah. So now, how are you using your platform with the NHL to help raise awareness for your disease? I know that there's the Hockey Fights Cancer Initiative.
Sure.
How do you?
That's
do you
terrific.
Work with that?
And you know, when I was in Aruba after being diagnosed, I wanted to get the message out, and I wrote an article that was posted on NHL.com. Mm. I wanted people to, first of all, understand that it was through a random blood test that I was diagnosed. So I wanted them to understand how important it is, at least annually, to have some blood work done and pay attention to the signs. That's first and foremost. Give yourself a chance to win. And the other part of it was, I didn't want people to have false information. There's so much misinformation out there through social media. Fraser's dying. Some might say, oh, good, it's about time. He missed that call. But it's really important to get the right message and provide hope and also support. I can't tell you how many people contacted me, through social media, through my website. The head of the Canadian MPN Foundation reached out in an email through my website, said, call, I can give you some information. Those are the kind of things that give you a lift. You feel not only just supported, but you don't feel alone.
Exactly. So now, looking forward, where do you see the treatment of MPNs headed?
Well, hopefully for a cure. Yeah. I mean, ideally, that's what we all hope for, right?
Yeah.
Short of miracles, which do happen, and I've seen, and have happened. Mm-hmm. But for awareness, first of all. Second of all, that funds are generated for research, and more is being known through the medical field and through the various drug companies that are looking to prolong people's lives, to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
To go into remission and to live long and prosperous lives. And without that, where would we be?
Exactly. What is one piece of advice you would give to someone who is just beginning their cancer journey?
Be positive. Know that you can win. Don't be defeated. Don't be deflated. There's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be a roller coaster ride a little bit, especially at the beginning. If you have a support group, terrific. If you don't have one, they're out there, find one. There's all kinds of people like me that are available to help with all kinds of information medically and how to emotionally conquer what's ahead of you. And I think a positive outlook and attitude is the best thing that any of us can have.
Is there anything specifically that you would like to share with other people who are living with an MPN?
I think everybody is different in how they respond to a challenge. I think there are people that prefer to be private and quiet. I don't think that's the right way to approach this. I would like to see people, even if you're fearful, you may be embarrassed, and I don't know why, because we all you know, it touches everybody at some form in terms of family and friends and such. And there's help out there. There's help that is available to pull you up when you're down. You have the ability and the opportunity to pull others up when they're down. So don't think that it's best just to sit in a chair, to stay in the closet. Get out there, get in front of this thing, and let's form with me, with the doctors, the oncologists, the nurses. Let's put together a team. I'm a team guy. One player never won that cup. It took a team and with the same direction and the same pull. As soon as somebody goes off on their own, there was going to be failure. So my suggestion to you is get up front of it. Be on the team. There are all kinds of opportunities out there where you can get help when you need it, and you're going to be able to help others when they need it. And that in itself gives each one of us a lift when we can do something for someone else and it's not about us.
The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.